us to be sure that we're listening to the right voice. And that would be the Lord's voice, okay? We don't want to listen to those crazy, unhealthy voices in our head. That self-talk can be really damaging. And we want to make sure that the voice we're listening to is the Lord's. He is always solid and he loves us and we can trust him, okay? We are women of the word and not of the world. So we can bank on God's absolute truth. We can bank on it. We don't have to compare or judge or be complainy or all those things that our natural self wants to do. So we want to put that aside because it is wrong thinking. And wrong thinking will get in the way of what the Spirit wants to do with us this weekend. So zingers will sneak in. You just stomp on them, all right? They'll sneak in, just put them away. Lord, help me out. The other thing is you may not know the person sitting next to you, but we are all one in the Spirit. We are all sisters in Christ. We all embody the Holy Spirit. And that's a crazy, crazy thought. But this is just a taste of forever for us. So let's really allow the Lord to love us and let his love in us and through us to each other this weekend. Because in John 13 it says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And we just have to make a concerted effort. Because if we don't get our coffee right when we want it in the morning, we have to be careful that we're still loving one another. It is not just right. We just have to tell ourselves. Myself and many others have spent hours and hours praying for each one of you, and it is an absolute privilege. And we want nothing less than God's perfect will to be done in each heart in this room. We want his very best holy work to be accomplished in each of your hearts. So we have responsibility to allow him full access, okay? All right. Have you ever had that special person in your life who just knew what you were thinking? There's like that knowingness that happens, and you don't really have to say any words. You can just glance, and you know. That can get you in trouble, though, can't it? For example, when I'm listening intently to the sermon, who is my husband, so it's really important that I stay focused, and something is said that reminds me of a hilarious memory that I know my daughters are thinking of at the same time, and we're sitting together in the front of the church, we just have to hunker down and just stare forward. Do not bump elbows. Clench your teeth. Do not let a peep out. And our shoulders will just be like this. Now, that only happens once in a while, and my husband's so thankful. Only once in a while. But it does happen, and they are really joyous moments, right? Or how about when something really funny happens, or you want to tell your friend a joke, but you're laughing so hard that you can't get it out, so you're mouthing the words, and the cool thing is that your friend is laughing the whole time with you before the punchline, and they have no idea, but they just know it's funny already. I love those moments. We had many moments. We had many moments like that today with the Rock. I won't tell you. I won't tell you. But the Rock happened, and we're very thankful. That's a miracle. The other thing that I think is really special, a moment that I will always cherish in my heart, was I had the privilege of being in the delivery room with my daughter and my son-in-law when Addison Ray was born. And in that, obviously, was so beautiful, such a beautiful thing to be able to be there. And she was a week or so late, so we were like, come on, girl. And so I walked over, and she was on this little table where they measure the baby and everything. And I walked over there, and I bent down, and I don't remember exactly what I said. Something really profound. So I'm like, we've been waiting for you. We love you so much. And she's kind of fussing because they're, you know, measuring her and everything. And she just stops. And she turns her head and looks at me. It was such an incredible moment. And even my son-in-law knows, like, oh my gosh, she knows you already. And in that moment, I also was like, that is how it should be with our Lord. It's when he speaks, we stop whatever we're doing, and we turn, and we look, and we listen. That's how it should be. And those babies are always teaching us, aren't they? So that's why I love our God so much, because he's the God of the universe, and he still wants to hang out with us, cracked pots. That's incredible. That's amazing in and of itself. He wants that same connection and knowingness with us that we can have with each other, but even more with him, because he knows my thoughts before I even speak them. And that's really good, because now I have a hard time resurrecting some words. So it's like, you know what I'm thinking, right, Lord? But he is absolute holiness, and yet he still wants to hang out with us. Because he's unconditional love, he's like the perfect balance. So he desires that fellowship and friendship with us as well. And we don't want to miss out on any of that. In Psalm 92, it says, before the mountains were created, before the earth was formed, you are God without beginning or end. That's the God who wants to hang out with us. And God in that context is El Shaddai. God Almighty, God All-Powerful. That is amazing. That God wants to have a relationship with you and me. And not just casual relationship, but close relationship. In fact, from the very beginning, God planned to have a special relationship with us. He created us to hang out with him, to do life with him. My daughter's just kidding. He created us to do life with him. And in Genesis, the first chapter, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. You're thinking, why are we in Genesis, Sharon? But this is good. It says that he made us in his image, which means we resemble him, just like we resemble our parents. We have characteristics of theirs. And so we have characteristics of our Abba Father. Our God, that's incredible. Secondly, in all the days of creation, God created and then said, it was good. It's good. But with Adam and Eve, human beings, he interrupts his whole pattern. And he does something that he didn't do with any other part of creation. He immediately talks to them. How cool is that? Adam and Eve were human beings and were given communicative abilities like no other creature or part of creation for a reason. Because we humans were created to hear and understand and apply God's word to our lives every moment we breathe so that we could know God and understand him. That's what our life is about. That's what we're about. You think about it. We don't walk up to a tree or a squirrel and have a deep theological conversation, right? They weren't made for that. We were uniquely made for that. We are very special to God. We were created to live in relationship with God by revelation of his word, constantly talking back and forth. So, what this means is that humans need God's word to live fully for his glory. So as Christians, if we aren't immersing ourselves in his word and listening for his voice, then we're not yet fully living. And so I just really want us to reflect on that for a moment while Shirley comes up and the crew, and they do a song. So we have time to reflect on it. We were made for God. So, now, let's jump from Genesis into Exodus. And we're going to see this beautiful example of relationship with God. It's one of my favorite parts of the Old Testament scripture. It's a peek into Moses and God's friendship. I just love this. So God first introduces himself to Moses, and he says, I am who I am in this burning bush in Exodus 3, right? which is Yahweh or Jehovah, the all-sufficient one. And Yahweh Jehovah means always present, always accessible, near to all who call on him. He never changes. He is faithful. Now in the Bible, these names of God, they describe different aspects of God's character. And what a beautiful introduction for Moses. I'm sure he was thinking, okay, let me get this straight. So you never change. You're always faithful, you're all sufficient, you're always present, and you're near when I call. Wow, I like God. Great first introduction. I want to be your friend. Only God can always be present for us and always with us so that we're never alone. Now, I want to move forward a little bit. Moses has been with God for a while. They've been doing this team thing because God made Moses the leader to get the people out of slavery, out of Egypt. So he's done that. He's led them out of Egypt with the Lord's help. The Lord parted the Red Sea and they all walked through. God has guided them into freedom with Moses' leadership. But the people have been very thankless and complaining about such things as manna for every meal. And so there's this conversation that happens. The Lord says to Moses, all right, you guys can leave this place. And the people in you that you brought out of Egypt can go up to the land that I promised to give Abraham and his descendants. And I'll send an angel ahead and I'll get rid of all the enemies so you're good to go and you can go to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I'm not going to go with you because you are a stiff-necked people. And God was very displeased with the complaining and the discontented spirit. But I'll bless you with the land, but I'm not going to go with you. Well, Moses is thinking, are you kidding me? So Moses answers him in Exodus 33:16. If your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? What distinguishes you and me? Our God. And then the Lord says to Moses, he listens, he really listens to Moses. He says, all right, I'll do the very thing that you've asked of me because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Meaning he knows Moses as a friend, as someone they've done all this time together. They're doing life with each other. So this is huge. Because Moses doesn't want to go anywhere without God. I love that. And he realizes that being God's is very special. So God responds to Moses, and he stands because Moses stood in the gap for the stiff-necked people. He prayed on their behalf. He said, please come with us even though. And God's like, all right. Because I'm pleased with you, I'll do this. So Moses is like, wow, this thing that God and I have is really something special. So he gets a little crazy and he says, well, can you show me your glory? I love that. I like Moses. Aren't we like that? This is going so well. I think I'm going to just go out on a limb here. So he says, show me your glory. It's a pretty outlandish request of God. But that's the kind of safety in the relationship that we can have with our God. We can be outlandish with him because he knows us just the way we are. So Moses seeks to be even closer to God in the relationship. He wants to see his glory. Now I love God because he answers, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, Yahweh, which was so holy and glorious that they did not proclaim it out loud. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. So there's a problem here, right? So basically, God is so pleased with Moses that he wants to be even closer to him. And he says, okay, I want to do this thing, but it'll kill you. So we need to work this out. He wants Moses to know him. He wants Moses to see his glory, but he needs Moses to be safe. So then the Lord says, I've got a plan. There's this place near me where you can stand on a rock. I didn't even plan that. We had the rock going on and the Lord gave me the scripture. So I was like, wow, God, you're into the decor. So he says, when my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll cover you with my hand and then I'll pass by. Then I'll move my hand and you'll see my back, but not my face. You can't see my face. And so Moses gets to see the glory of God. Because they're friends. Because God goes, yeah, let's do this. I think that is such a beautiful exchange between Moses and God and God and Moses. And it's for us to know that that's how it can be for you and me with our God, our Allah. So let's see what we learn from this. One, God really is displeased with sin. It gets in the way. It affects our relationship with people. It affects our relationship with God. And God was displeased with the complaining, stiff-necked people under Moses' leadership. And yet, we see his tremendous grace, don't we? Two, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful. God said to Moses, he was pleased. And that shows us Moses' righteousness before God. So in James 5:16, it says that, therefore, confess your sins to each other so that we can be righteous and cleansed, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's you and me. So God lovingly allowed Moses to mediate for the people because he knew Moses and was pleased with him. So we know that God desires heartfelt dialogue with us. The real deal. We don't have to say these and thous like King James. He wants heartfelt dialogue with us. God desires close, intimate communion, friendship with us. That's why he cooked up the whole plan with Moses about the crook and the rock. He wanted Moses to know him as much as he knew Moses. And what a beautiful picture of relationship. How our heart can always desire more of the Lord, and the Lord always desires to be closer to us. This is the on and on of our lives from now on. This is our life. The most important thing. So, with that in mind, we want to think about how our experience with God is a never-ending, always-growing relationship. So Shirley's going to come up again in summer and sing so we can reflect. All right. So, these are the important things to know about our God, is that he has good intentions towards us, and we can trust him. One of the people in the Bible, there are two women I especially want to bring up tonight that really helped me to better know the God who knows me. One is Hagar. And that is because she called God El Roi, the God who sees me. And that has always been a big deal to me. She calls God this because she was pregnant, alone, and desperate in the wilderness after being driven out by Sarah, her master's wife. And then the Lord had the angel of the Lord come to Hagar and speak to her out there, and she's all by herself and in a terrible place. And he gave her counsel to return back to the tough stuff, return back to Sarah, and encouraged her and told her he would bless her, and he was going to bless her with a son named Ishmael. What really grabs me about this is she knew without a doubt that El Roi saw her in her distress, and she testified that he is a God who lives and sees all, that he saw her in her affliction. And for a time, he didn't take it away. She got all the way out to the wilderness and was there. But he saw her the whole time, and in his perfect timing, he came to her. There is no circumstance that escapes our God, our Father's awareness and care in our lives. God knows me and my troubles. He knows them well. He knows you and your troubles well also. He's close and will attend to us in his perfect timing. And we just need to listen and watch. The second woman is the woman at the well. And she had this great conversation with Jesus in John 4. And according to those times, Jesus should not have been talking to her. She was a woman and she was a Samaritan. That was a big no-no according to the law. But he chose to talk to her. He's God and he loves her. And she's super surprised, and he ends up telling her, because they're at the well, they're talking about water, he ends up telling her about the water that he gives, and it's the spring of water that wells up to eternal life, and that she'll never thirst again. He also explains to her that he's not only a prophet, because he knows all about her, he's the Messiah. And he miraculously describes everything in her life that she wasn't telling people, how she was living with the man, she's not married, and then she had five prior husbands. And she's in awe, like, wow, you know all that about me? And we just met at the well. So in John 4:28, it tells us that she leaves her jar and she runs into town. And she tells everybody she sees, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. He knew everything about me. This is pretty incredible. I think he might be the Messiah. She was so taken by it. She didn't feel like she should run and hide, even though he knew all these things. She knew by the way he told her and the way he was with her, I know everything about you, but I have everything for you as well. So what we can learn from this woman at the well is that God loves the lost and the broken. We don't have to worry about perfection. It's never going to happen anyway. Just when we think we've done too much or we should not be seen with Jesus, he seeks us out. And he tells us he knows everything we ever did, and he's our Messiah, and he desires to be our personal Savior and our Lord. He never gives up on us. He pursues us. Now, the people in the Bible had many beautiful names of God portraying his character, what they knew about him, and I've mentioned a few. This is important. The fact is, our view of God shapes our lives to a very great extent. And that is why Scripture stresses to seek to know God. This is very important. He has got to come out of the pages, into your heart, and through your life. That is the reality of true Christianity. And these people, they mentioned these names of God because these are the special experiences that they had with God. That's how they knew him. He has asked me to share with you some of the names that I specifically have for him. And they're not as eloquent and beautiful. And some of them are straight out of the Word. But these are the things that I have experienced with him. And the reason I need to be this vulnerable and share this is because every single one of us should have these special names for our God in intimate ways that we have this special friendship with him, and it will be unique with every single one of us. Inside this silly book that says memory verses, I have written down many, many things that the Holy Spirit has spoken to me through his word. And they are chapters in my life and times when God and I have dialogued and ways that God has brought me through in the tough stuff and the joyous things. And my idea is that when I'm not here anymore, I'm going to give this to my girls. And they'll see this journal of God and I's dialogue through life and how he truly speaks in our lives. He truly lives life with us. But he's called me to share a few things with you as well. He is my pursuer. In Luke 15, he says, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. And I was lost for a long time. But I realized looking back that he pursued me from the time I was 9 years old and I climbed out of my bed and was on my knees by my bed and I said, I know there's a God, I just don't know how to get to you. And he pursued me until I was 21 years old when I finally received him as my Lord. And those last 2 years, before I received him, I was more lost and disillusioned than ever. But he didn't give up on me. He pursued me and he showed me that I didn't have to get to him. He came to me. That's how much he loves us. He's my beloved. He really is. Paul wrote, he said, to all in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all beloved of God. We are his saints. We may not feel too saintly, but we are his saints because he is in us and he is holy. And he came to me in such a profound way on this one. I was scared to death to get married. My parents had had a rough round for a few years, and I just thought, well, if family love gives out like this, I don't know, God. I don't know. I was scared to death. And yet, when I looked at Jeff, I was like, I don't think I can live without him either. This is a problem. And so he came to me in my apartment one night. I was just not sleeping, and I was praying. And he literally lit up the room. He only did that because I'm such a she of little faith. He has to do these things sometimes. He literally lit up my room, and I climbed out of bed and got on my knees. I'm like, oh, this is a big deal, right? He said, you are my beloved. Am I yours? I'm like, yes, yes. I think so, yes, yes. He said, then you trust me. I'm your love. You will be loved. So I figured that was the go, and I was going to marry this guy. And the beautiful thing about it was, you know, marriage is what it is. And it sometimes is great, and it sometimes is like, what was I thinking? And the Lord would remind me all over again, you are my beloved, and my yours, then trust me. Trust me right now. 33 years, he's still whispering that in my ear when I need it. He's such a good God. He is my Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, and he heals us both body and soul. He's my great physician. And he came to me. Oh, gosh, these are hard. He came to me after my third miscarriage, and I was on the floor in the bathroom crying, oh God, can this be really happening again? Help me through this. And I so wish I could see my notes. He said to me, hold on to me. I am your great physician. And he didn't heal my body then. He let my baby go and I didn't get to know that baby. But that baby's with him. But what he did was he healed me, my soul and my thoughts of life. And he put this contentment in me no matter what happens next. And only he can do that, right? And so then I live, thank you so much. So then I live with that. That just that contentment. Well, life's gonna be this way, right, God? Because this is your plan. And then 2 years down the line, he made it so that I could carry full term. And I had my baby girl, Riley. She's 17 now. She doesn't have a baby. But he is my Yahweh Rapha, my great physician. It becomes more and more personal as we walk through life with him, right? He's my Yahweh Jireh. The Lord will provide. He's my means and my way. How many times has he been my means and my way? The house we live in, we used to go visit it when my Taylor was just a little tiny girl, 18 months old, and I'd lay down in the living room and think, oh, I love this house. Oh, we can't afford it. And about the third time we visited, we got this call, and the builder had us meet with them, and they dropped the house thousands and thousands of dollars so we could move in. We said, but we still can't because we have to sell our house. And he said, I'll buy it. Okay, is that a God thing or what? When you're getting into ministry full time, I had to learn that my paycheck and my secular career were not my provider. My God was my provider. And so we were about to make the big financial shifts, and our daughter needed braces. And I'm like, sheesh, I don't know where that's going to fit in, but my daughter needs braces. And we go in, and they give me the bill, and I'm doing the thing, and I'm just praying, like, let's crunch numbers, Jesus. And I look at the bottom of the list and it's zero balance due. And I'm like, this is a problem. There's something on here. She goes, no, the orthodontist chooses one family a year to bless. He's my means and my money. Then we're full time and our daughter, we have her in a private school. And the Lord's providing somehow, but she needs a car because, of course, the private school isn't closed either. And my dear friend Debbie Gonzalez says, pray, because God provided a car for us in a crazy way. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray. Sure enough, I get this call. We want to sell our car to you. And I'm thinking, how much is it going to be? It's a dollar. Excuse me? It's a dollar. And it was a stable Volvo. I mean, it was a tank, and that's what my kid needed. So I know she was safe. And it was not a cool car, because it was a red station wagon. But she called it Rudy, and she really liked it. My God is my means and my way. I also know they did that to show me his generosity, this, that I would never falter in those times of ministry when, you know, it wasn't like it was before when I had that paycheck and secular job, and it was all, you know, where you're just in your routine and comfy, cozy, right? He's like, I got you. I got you. Yahweh Makadosh, the Lord who sanctifies and makes holy. He is the holy in me. When I was first saved, the Lord released me from this incredible weight in my soul because I thought I had to perform to be loved, and I don't ever measure up to perfection. Sometimes I'm so not even close. It was a problem. And it was such an amazing emptying of me and then God pouring into me that he poured this peace and this joy in me and all the dread was gone. I cannot explain to you, but I used to go to sleep on Sunday nights and have such overwhelming dread for the next week. Never again. I can't even explain it. But he completely took that out of me, so I was no longer in that duck and cover for the next sucker punch that life's going to give you. He just took it away. He is the good in me. He is the right thinking in me. He is my peace. And I don't have to fight to perform perfectly. I just live to please him. It's so much better. So much better. And this is a really spiritual one. He's my Optimus Prime. He's my transformer. And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are transformed into his glorious image. When he came in like a mighty transformer. And I knew I was looking for something, but I didn't realize it was him. And he came in, and he took all that disappointment and hurt in my heart about love, and he just enfolded me in the real deal. So I didn't have to fear it anymore, and he taught me how to have an open abandonment for him. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. So my view of love became safe rather than, uh-oh, it might go away. But God's love never does. He's my knight in shining armor, and don't we all want that? He is it. Psalm 18:2, my God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He's my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I need a place of safety in this world. My armor's getting pelted. He's my protector, and I knew the moment I met him, there would be no other like him in my life. He protected me and steered me out of so many dangerous situations before I even knew him. I can't even tell you. Drugs, crazy stuff. He'd like just take me out. I don't even know how he did it. But he did it. And now he protects me and he gives me that discernment when I need it. And so I know that I don't have to walk in fear in this life. He's my trailblazer. I love this about him. I used to be such a little chicken about everything. I used to ride my bike home every lunch hour at school through the third grade. I had friends. I don't know what my deal was, but I just wanted to go home just for a few minutes and be safe and then go back in the big world. That's my God. He's my trailblazer. He makes it so I can do those things that he calls me to do that seem completely impossible, but he makes them possible. And so life is just this incredible adventure. Okay, let's do this, Sharon. Really? Yeah, let's do this now. And he's saying, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't panic, because the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He'll never leave you. He'll never abandon you. My trailblazer. He's my stabilizer, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I spin. I got a circus going on in there. And he keeps me sane. And this scripture in Colossians, I don't know. It might be out of context a little here, but for me, this is what it means. And he is before all things, and in him, all things are held together. That's me. I cannot hold myself together. But man, I will run that. The Spirit will just bring that to mind. I can be driving in the car. Don't worry. I hold all things together, girl. It's going to be fine. He keeps me together when I'm just going to unravel. He's my best friend. He is my confidant. He is who I go to first because he is so safe and so wise. And Jesus called us friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you, he said. So we get to know so much more about the Father because Jesus talked about it when he was here on the earth, and now the Holy Spirit's talking to us through the Word. So we can keep asking. He's going to still be here, right? We can question. We can always dialogue with the Lord. He's safe. He's the kind of friend that you can sit in silence with and just be comfy. I love that. He's the kind of friend you can do your ugly cry with, and it's okay. But then he challenges you to go along, to do the hard thing, to live for his glory and not just do regular life. He doesn't want us to just do regular life. We have been called to something really special here. He's my Abba Father. He's the father of the fatherless and the protector of the widows. He is God in his holy habitation, and yet he comes right here to us. And I remember when my mom died, my dad was already gone, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm an orphan. And my friend Mary said, no, don't think that. She walked through it before. Don't think that you have your Abba Father. You're not an orphan. And then the Holy Spirit brought that scripture to me. He's right. I'm not an orphan. I'm his daughter. He's my Abba Father. He's the father to the fatherless. And he took care of my mom for 20 years when she was a widow. And I got to see her grow and got to see Jesus become her beloved. This is the last one. He is mine. I don't know how hard it's been for me to be able to say that. The God of the universe can say he's mine. That's incredible. And the scripture says, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Do you ever feel like you don't have an ounce of strength left? He is the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Great I am. He wants to be even closer to me today than I was yesterday. He wants me to be closer to him than I was 10 years ago. He wants me to be closer to him tomorrow than I am right now. He's mine. He's my Abba, my Savior, my Lord, my Counselor, my Protector, and so much more. You can say, he's mine. He's mine. So what about you, girls? Are you able to trust God? Are you able to know the one who knows you? Where are you at in your relationship with him? This is so important because how we view God is how we're going to live. It's super important. So I want you to assess it this weekend. I want you to talk to him about it. He is the authority on this. He is absolute truth, and he loves you to pieces. I don't know where you are at. And each one of us is in a different place, and that's the way it should be. That's the beauty of God's family. But my prayer is that you seek him out with your whole heart and don't hold anything back. God can handle everything. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will find him to be mighty and faithful and loving and forgiving and trustworthy and strong and pure. He will never wrong you. Don't miss the opportunity to experience the love of your life, the strength of your heart. And wherever you are right now, there's always more with this guy. He's so amazing. I can't imagine doing life without him. I can't imagine being married without him. I can't imagine being a mom without him. I can't imagine doing friendship without him, because as beautiful as all those things are, they're stinking hard sometimes. And yet with God, he makes it doable, because in the tough times, he just picks you up and carries you. Or he protects your heart. Or he gives you the wisdom you need. Or the words that you need. Or the forgiveness that you need. He does the hard work. Our part? Surrender. Trust. A bunch of us have been praying for you. Let the walls down if there are any. And if your heart feels like it's in a million pieces, that's okay. Just hand him the mess. He's really good at holding all things together. I'm going to pray for you guys. And we're going to have a worship song, and then we're going to move right into communion. Okay? Let me pray. Jesus, I know your heart for each woman in this room. I know how much you want so much to be very, very close to them. And I know, Lord, that you know them so intimately. You know their thoughts better than they even know them. So I pray that all strongholds, all walls, all barriers, anything that would keep them from trusting you, from drawing close to you, from seeking you out and receiving you wholeheartedly into every absolute corner of their hearts, God, break it down. I pray, Lord, that we would understand who you really are in your heart for us. I pray, God, that if there are any doubts, any questions, that we would sing them out to you and let you address them. Teach us to know your voice. Teach us to be still. Teach us how beautiful it is to be your daughter. To be so loved that you would die for us. That you would desire forever with us, each one of us. If anybody's not feeling worthy, show them that you are the worthy one, and that's the story. If anybody's feeling hurt and so broken, God, pick up the pieces, be their great physician. If anybody feels standoffish or on the fringes, show them that you absolutely want to embrace them, that they are part of your family. Bring us, Lord, straight into your throne room now. Bring us straight in. And if anybody's kicking and screaming, just pick them up and bring them. We love you so much, God, and we ask that your holy, sanctifying power would challenge us and do a holy work in us, and that we would listen and we would obey, and that you would be truly pleased with us, because we want to honor you, God, because you are so beautiful. In your name, Jesus, amen.